Outside, snow's all over the ground, but halfway around the world, things are heating up in Copenhagen, where the world leaders, including Prime Minister Harper, U.S. President Obama, and Toronto Mayor David Miller, are in attendance at the Monumental Summit. And here in Toronto, local activists are speaking out. We'll be airing an important update on the environmental turmoil ahead. And plus, Robin Yento has sent in a file with an interview with the president of the Ontario Energy Professionals about Ontario's deep deficit and desperate. The desperate premier is willing to take a desperate measure, including the possibility of selling off public agencies such as Hydro One, Ontario Lottery and Gaming, and the LCBO, Ontario Power Generation, and to tell us about the effect on the new emerging green economy. Robin Yento has got the interview with the president of Ontario Energy Professionals coming up later on in the show. Plus, we got some clips of the Blastmaster, KRS-One, and the Stop the Violence movement that was relaunched in Toronto earlier this year. We got some music breaks, and we got a whole lot more. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with a bit more right after this.
When you got somewhere to go and something to do and a place to be, people can be shooting up the block all day. People can be fighting on the corner all day. You walking past that to your purpose. When you have purpose, violence don't see you.
Word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here and we're just getting ready to play the clip that Robin Yento has sent in today for the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
After accumulating the largest provincial debt in Ontario history, the Liberal McGuinty government has hired privatization experts Goldman Sachs and CIBC World Markets to draw up a blueprint for the sale of all or part of provincial crown corporations, including the Liquor Board, the Provincial Lottery Company, Ontario Power Generation, and Hydro One. Ontario Premier Dalton McGuinty said he is looking for the best bang for the buck from the sale of these public institutions. To speak to us tonight about what this means to Ontarians is Rod Shepherd. Rod Shepherd represents more than 7,500 professional employees, engineers, scientists, middle management, and information technology personnel in Ontario's electricity sector.
You say that selling off Hydro One or Ontario Power Generation would be a bad idea. Why is that?
Yes, Robin, and I believe that I share this opinion with several hundred people here in the province. The selling off of these assets would limit our, first of all, our economic recovery that we so badly need in the manufacturing sector. The price of electricity has always been one of those issues that is discussed. But as we go forward with the Green Energy Act and issues tied to it, it will be very difficult, in my opinion, to see how that can be well regulated and well managed if these assets that currently are in the public hands are surrendered to the private sector. I will go on to say we do represent people in the private sector, and we're quite pleased with the response that we've had with those people, but more privatization is not a good thing when it comes to the electricity utility sector here in Ontario.
And your organization also says the stability in the electricity sector will be had through public investment, and that it's crucial for all Ontarians. How is that?
Well, you have a situation with both Ontario Power Generation and Hydro One, where the government can dictate what gets done, what the priorities are, and if this is given to the private sector, that certainly is not left in the hands of the government any longer. They will have to then go to private sector operators and ask for the opportunities to do those things. So the stability of the utility network is going to be at risk by private operators wanting to operate and not wanting to be shut down just as we currently shut down OPG on and off when the system needs to be regulated.
And I guess that leads to the next question with about privatization that I think a lot of Ontarians will have at the top of their minds is about selling Hydro One and Ontario Power Generation. What effect will it have on rates for customers?
Well, the past tells me that, first of all, the people of this province will not get a fair price for the assets that are sold. That's the first thing. And second of all, these people aren't doing it to ensure that we have safe, reliable power in the province of Ontario. They're doing it to make a profit and to ensure that their interests and their shareholders are looked after as far as their investment. It's hard to conceive that the prices would remain the same or go down.
And just to give the Ontario government the benefit of the doubt, would they be proposing the selling of Ontario utilities like Hydro One and Ontario Power Generation because these companies are losing money?
No. These companies make money. In fact, their profits after costs have increased, but only because their generation capabilities and transmission capabilities have increased. This is short-minded thinking to deal with a deficit in 2009. To quote here, both companies make yearly payments in lieu to the Ontario Electricity Financial Corporation, which are roughly equivalent to what they would pay in combined federal and provincial corporate income taxes if they were private companies. And if they were sold, the province would no longer be paid the federal portion. And in 2007 and 2008, that amount for Hydro One was about $118 million and $65 million in 2008. And for OPG, it was around $105 million. So not only would the profits that are made by these corporations that go back into general revenue be lost, you'd actually lose the tax portion of that as well. So there's a double whammy involved in that. So we're concerned about the price of electricity going up. You don't have to look very far in this province to see manufacturing plants closed because, in part, there are concerns about the cost of electricity. And certainly that was the resounding comments coming out of Northern Ontario in the pulp and paper industry, that the costs of electricity were impeding their success.
This proposal to privatize Hydro and Ontario Power Generation is not a new one. The Mike Harris government threatened to privatize Hydro as well. Do you think McGuinty will succeed this time around in privatizing Hydro, and what will prevent him from doing so?
Well, we sure hope that this is some scheme that is ill-fated. What is different this time is that there's more at risk than there was. The public is more aware now of the costs. Public is more aware that you start to fragment this more, and it's hard to control the electricity system. I mean, we're a strong believer that the first breakup of Ontario Hydro was wrong because we're now paying extra for extra services. We have increased government influence in this. Organization with the OPA and the IESO and other entities such as that weren't part of the Ontario Hydro situation. And Ontario Hydro was a vertically integrated corporation where they were in control of all aspects and thus being able to maintain control of the electricity sector. Wasn't perfect, but we've only seen an increase in rates since the fragment some decade ago now.
So while Mike Harris wasn't successful in privatizing the entire industry, he did succeed in privatizing aspects of it.
He managed to, and I think that the citizens of this province made the appropriate amount of noise to say, listen, some of these corporations that you're looking at aren't losing money. They are good, solid corporations, good corporate citizens. And they need to be kept in the hands of the public so that we can control the costs for the infrastructure of the province of Ontario. This is key and fundamental to the success of supporting the Green Energy Act, the recuperation of the manufacturing sector, and certainly not lost on anyone is the effect that the Aboriginal influence could have on a public sector electricity system is very important and significant to make sure their voices are heard going forward in the future.
And those the concerns of First Nations and also the manufacturing sector, green jobs, how are all these, the interests of these groups, how are they affected by the privatization of hydro?
Well, there, if we take the Aboriginal community and the governments there, their relationship is with this, the government of the province of Ontario and certainly the Canadian government, and they have the ability to secure contracts with them. I wouldn't know what they would be able to do in a private partnership with a private owner. But there's more assurances going forward for them in a public arena to be a player in the recovery of the electricity sector and the refurbishment of it and so on.
And the effects of a privatization on workers at Ontario Power Generation and Hydro, what could the privatization mean to workers?
Well, my concern certainly with privatization is always about doing the minimal to maintain that we're operating. I'm concerned about that. These people that run up Ontario Power Generation and Hydro One carefully plan, make sure the refurbishments are being done and the maintenance is being done. And that is for the benefit of the people of Ontario, not for the investor that is putting the money around always. It's got a balance there that I don't think would be there if the private sector was able to own it. It would be bottom line driven, and the bottom line would be, is that making us money or not making us money?
And lastly, the effects of privatization on carbon emissions in hydro and in Ontario Power Generation. How would that affect carbon emissions in the province?
Well, certainly with the plan for coal closures, there will be more reliance on gas if there's not a better plan. The concern that we would have is that we become as reliant on gas as we are on coal. And if you're going to put more demand on the system, and we fully support the Green Car Initiative, if you're going to put more demand on it, something is going to have to take place of lack of private sector availability or loss of other renewables that aren't available at the time we've time shifted this power demand to. We'd certainly be concerned that we are, you know, what we're replacing, what we're losing in the system would not reduce the carbon footprint as significantly as one would think. And people are going to want to put replacement energy up as cheaply as they can, as quickly as they can. And gas will do that. While it's the lesser of two evils with coal, it's still not going to address completely the issues that are under the Green Energy Act, in my opinion.
Rod Shepherd represents more than 7,500 professional employees, engineers, scientists, middle management, and information technology personnel in Ontario's electricity sector.
I've got the power! word of mouth. We're back here on the show live in the studio at CKLN 88.1 FM on the Ryerson University campus, 55 Gould Street location. And it's our December 16th show. You just heard that clip there sent in by Robin Yento speaking about the energy situation in Ontario. And you can stay tuned because we got a lot more info coming up. What we're going to do is throw it into right into our next segment right now, and we're just gonna play one right now that I think is pretty important judging by the times that we are into right now, with a major summit underway, COP 15, also known as the Copenhagen Agreement, and the treaty is being written up and signed, and well, who knows actually what's going on behind the closed doors as the world leaders are meeting, but we know that there is major changes on the way going on in the world. So what I wanted to do was play a segment. Now, featured in this segment are some voices that you might have heard on the show in the past, with the Toronto Truth Seekers, that had the campaign underway about the H1N1 vaccinations and alternative information on that. Well, now they've got another campaign underway about the climate change, climate gate situation that we're seeing going on involving the carbon taxes. And then also featured in this clip, just so you get an ensemble view, just so you get a diversity of opinion on the subject, we've got interspersed with some clips of, well, the featuring the mayor, David Miller. Other voices you'll hear are Elizabeth May and some of the climate change activists in the Monk Center debate. So you'll hear a few different voices here. Let's just get this underway right here. We got it going on Word of Mouth Wednesday. Here is some info on what's up.
Have you heard anything on this, that we got an agreement going on, Copenhagen Agreement? Have you heard anything on this?
Copenhagen Agreement. Let me tell you something. Copenhagen. We ain't going to be coping easy with what's up in Copenhagen soon.
Copenhagen has pulled out all the stops.
And Lord Monckton, a British lord who used to be an aide to Margaret Thatcher in the 80s, says he's read it and has come out and spoken about it, and no one's really challenging him because he pretty much says this. The Copenhagen Agreement will create a communist world government controlled by the United Nations.
All the stars.
On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. On to the next, no one world government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it. Hold up. Eugenics behind and viral schizophrenic. Control freak, soul weak, bootlicking menace.
280 parts per million.
Elizabeth, this I'm going to ask you to stop there. That's a great answer. Thank you. Comprehensive, and we appreciate that here at the Monk Debates.
Bank machine network is powered from green power.
Right.
That's amazing. Now,
honestly, it's ridiculous. I mean, CO2, I mean, we need CO2 to live.
Stop global cooling, folks. We all have to do our part.
Yeah. Stop global cooling, folks.
Does this feel like the Earth is getting warmer? Feel it. I have my hands in my pockets. Come on.
We waste in this country more energy than we use.
Global warming, do you feel warm right now? I'm in a cold year. I'm freezing.
Global cooling, folks.
Global cooling. Do your part to stop global cooling, ma'am. Thank you very much. There you go, ma'am.
Global cooling, folks.
Every drop of carbon dioxide counts. Stop global cooling. We need more carbon dioxide. Exhale.
Global cooling, we all need freely. To stop global cooling.
Exhale. There's a lot of ways to create a communist world government under control of the United Nations, especially incrementally. So keep in mind, Copenhagen didn't come out of nowhere. This is building on decades of international agreements. It's based on the carbon tax.
Power to Live Green, Toronto's new energy strategy, will create over 30,000 new green jobs and reduce the carbon emissions in heating for our homes by over 80%.
So if we're going to do green, we've got to do it in a way that also creates local jobs for local people.
Climate change, I don't think, is going to work unless everybody can take part and reduce their emissions and have an income to do that with.
They make it a little more, rather than voluntary, but mandatory.
Okay, mandatory offset. Guys, thank you so much for being on. It's great to have really smart young people here. It's time for another break. When we come back, we'll take a look at another one of the city videos that will be presented in Copenhagen. Thanks for being with us on The Mayor.
Rep. Webster Griffin Tarpley said they want to crucify us on a cross of carbon. Your carbon footprint. You're exhaling too much CO2, sir. Too much carbon dioxide. I'm sorry, sir. We have to worry about that. And you can tell how warm it's getting. Well, today's not bad. in general. Last 2 years, so they try to crucify us on a cross of carbon. They want to tax us for everything we do, every bit of energy that we use, every bit of energy that's used to produce anything, whatever.
Okay. All right, so we are back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we're just listening to a segment here that we're playing on the Copenhagen Agreement. Now, this is a major agreement that's going on, that's being worked out as we speak overseas. The leaders of the world are speaking about carbon tax, the price of carbon, carbon credits, and there's a lot of different opinions on what is going on. We're not quite sure what they're going to end up with at the end of this whole agreement. But it's supposed to be an advancement on the Kyoto. It's supposed to replace the old Kyoto Accord. And this will be a Copenhagen agreement that will, you know, it'll have major ramifications for, I guess, for everyone around the world. As you can see, if you've been looking into what's going on in Copenhagen, you'll see that the world leaders are there. So it's a major thing going on. And well, let's get back to that segment.
Tonight, be debating someone from Denmark who wanted to make the claim that it would be wrong to spend too much averting climate crisis because we should put our money into poverty alleviation and fighting HIV/AIDS instead. And he said, and I must say he was enraged, he said, but the climate crisis is making HIV/AIDS worse in my country every day.
Wow.
He said, we are suffering
How
a food crisis.
Elizabeth.
We cannot grow our food.
Elizabeth,
okay,
you've got to. How is that possible?
Let's talk one at a time.
I'm saying what the Minister for Poverty Alleviation was told me last night.
We're going to restore a little bit of order, a little bit of civility to this conversation.
In March of 2007, the UN said it was going to get really warm if we didn't do something right away. It's been 2.5 years since they said, it's going to get really warm if we don't do something right away. And it didn't get really warm. It's getting cold, folks. Stop global cooling.
I mean, you can see my breath. You see your breath in the summer? No, you don't. You see it in the wintertime. It's global cooling, not global warming. I mean, step outside your house. That's the evidence you need.
Your carbon footprint's a problem. The carbon dioxide you exhale is bad for the earth. This is ridiculous. This is a fraud. We've got to expose this. The climate gate emails.
Look at what Elizabeth said. I think she probably regrets it a little, saying that we should do something about global warming because of AIDS. But let's just take
a
look,
because
the problem is that the world government's in the control of the same hands of the people who've been running and influencing the world so far would be nothing but disastrous. These are people who've enslaved the third world, who have 1 billion people on the verge of starvation, 3 billion living on less than $2 a day, and so on. So Canadians need to understand the ramifications of a world government, the loss of sovereignty, the inability for us to control our own resources and our own destinies, and we have to resist this.
Stop global cooling. There you go, ma'am. Do your part. Just wearing a hat won't cut it.
No, no, no. It's still going to get cold. You're going to need a bigger hat next year.
Global cooling, bro. Real cold out. Colder than, perhaps in March, the climate will change. Perhaps in June, the climate will change again. And we can have a gloriously warm city of Toronto if we just do our part to stop global cooling.
We got this. On to the next No One World Government. Take your carbon tax and start shoving it.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. So we're getting some info there, some opinions on the carbon tax and what could be the possible outcomes of this Copenhagen agreement. You heard in there some voices of the Toronto Truth Seekers featuring Black Krishna. And then there was also some clips of there of the Toronto Mayor, David Miller. You also heard Elizabeth May and, you know, a few other voices just to give a diversity of opinion on these major events that are really affecting everyone all around the world. So we'll just get into this. Well, actually, I wanted to play a bit of a throwback here. Actually, I went through some Word of Mouth Wednesday archives, and I found a segment that we actually aired actually in this week last year. So it was in December of 2008 that I played a segment that I produced from a rally against global warming that took place last December. So just to give you another opinion here of what different activists are thinking about global warming, well, here is some words from the global warming rally of 2008.
Do you mind introducing yourself?
My name's John Irwin.
Today I'm here with the East Toronto Climate Action Group, keeping the climate chaos issue in the spotlight, given that there's so much other chaos in the economy. We still can't lose sight of the big picture that this is going to cost us more than our economic well-being. It's going to be a life-death issue within the next 50 years. So we have to turn it around now, and that's why I'm out here today. But I think there's been a really positive convergence of people that want to create green jobs as the solution to the problem. In other words, the solution is going to mitigate the problem. We can be creating jobs for the automobile worker, turning out more buses, light rail, all the infrastructure jobs. That happened in the Second World War. Within a few months, car factories were converted into producing bombers. Within a short period of time, we can retool these factories. The momentum is growing, and it's going to be irreversible.
Can I get a holler from all the youths in this climate? Yeah! That's right, guys. We're here today on this chilly afternoon because we don't want to pay for the mistakes of past generations.
I know.
We also don't agree with the rest of the world suffering malnutrition, death, and starvation because of Canada's unwillingness to act.
Stephen Harper needs to get his head out of the tar sands.
I know this cold day. We have to come together and we can do it. We have to 100,000 people come out and we have to send a message to our Prime Minister that we'll march again together and bigger number to Ottawa.
There ain't no power like the power of people.
Coming out today. Let's have the students lead us off in some chants.
Climate justice!
I thought that it was very inspiring. I was really happy to see so many people out in the freezing cold, you know?
I also noticed, is this your transportation here?
Yeah, this is my bicycle and a trailer. I brought, I made about 20 drums out of old soup cans, you know, for people on the marsh, that, you know, to get other people involved and have something to do. And I made the drumsticks out of the leftovers from our garden.
This week we don't really need more reasons to want to kick Stephen Harper out of government. I think looking at his record on the environment and on climate change, it's pretty clear that he's got to go and we need people that are going to give us some solutions for the future.
How did you think the rally went?
I think there's a lot of energy. I think people are freezing because it's minus 15 or so. But there's a lot of energy, a lot of youth here. So that gives me a lot of hope. And we've got representatives actually from just about every local in the Canadian Federation of Students here right now, representing about 300,000 students in Ontario who are committed to working for sustainability and against climate change.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. It is 7:35 p.m. and we've been playing some clips there on the climate change, climate gate, climate situation going on. We got the Copenhagen Agreement going down, and that was a throwback track to last year, 2008, with a rally with local activists that are active against the climate change, and they were speaking out against what they thought was the federal government not doing enough on climate, and we're not sure what the actual conservative plan is. We're hearing a lot from the opposition that that Canada could be stalling things in the Copenhagen, but we're not quite sure what they're up to. And well, here's just to get you in the mood for what's coming up. We got KRS-One coming up.
The government of Canada has dropped the ball.
Word up. I'm not sure if the government has dropped the ball or if they haven't picked it up, but, well, We're going to be going. We just threw that. We just played that clip from 2008. We just played a KRS-One clip from earlier this year. We're going to play some more clips a bit later on. And we got some more coming up on the global warming front. But we're just going to throw it to something projecting into the future. It's Beast 1333 with a track called 2033. Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Apple. Processing. I got it. Let's take it all the way to 2033. If you ain't heard of me, I'm Beast 1333. They wanna murder me after the government fell in 2012. The states of America turned into a hell. We all fell for the spells with the people in the panic. On December 21st, the comet hit up the Atlantic. The wave became gigantic and swallowed up the land masses. Many thought it was apocalypse on a damn masses. 3/4 of the people on the planet died, and a handful in underground bunkers survived. So it's 6,775,000,000 minus 3/4. Equals a whole lot of your siblings. Let surface temperature sizzling, just sizzling, and evaporated everything on the surface, including buildings for the people that survived. When the comet came to milk us, it was another 13 years before they ever reached the surface. When they finally got outside, it was 2025. It was 67,000 people glad to be alive. I could not believe my eyes. Let me tell you what I seen. It was like octopuses, tentacles, but these things were machines. Hey, yo, you breaking up. Yo, there's a hole in the continuum. When a rock hit and knocked the earth off its equilibrium, and a motherfucker didn't hit the planet just by accident. The internet that was sentient, it took control, attracted it. What you mean attracted it? Magnetically it charged the poles, attracting a magnetic meteorite that'll smash the globe. I can't believe it. Well, you better start believing. I'm not reaching across time for no reason. What you trying to tell me, that we all gonna die? Not you, them 7 billion other mother guys. If you wanna stay alive, do exactly what you been do. Codex Elementaris killed a billion Hindus. That's really not the issue though. Refuse their new technologies, spread the news and whistleblow, and spread it through society. And all I'm asking is that you go and alert the masses. Remember the movie They Live, when it made them put on glasses. But this time the glasses are masses of information. On December 21st, everyone to the battle stations. The thing that's gonna hit us is gonna have a negative charge. So the positive charge on the missiles we sent should be large. That won't blow it out the stars. That'll break it down to shards to try to lessen the impact as giant pieces fall in yards. I'm losing the signal again. There's only one more thing that I'ma leave you with, my friend. The internet of consciousness, a virtual living awareness. That will be the doom of the planet if our people stay careless. Keep transmissions airless and disconnect your wireless. Spread it like a plague and call it code name Annihilus. The Wi-Fi and 3Gs, believe me, avoid the mess. And the global positioning systems on your GPS. Digitized cordless telecommunications. Directional antennas removed from all nations. There's no time for patience. I'm losing them. Tell them to log out or stop using them. The base. We've lost all connection with the alien signal. Permission to stay in orbit to the year 2033.
Permission denied.
Word up, shoutouts to the Beast and the Templars of hip hop. We're just about to get back into the climate gate, climate change, climate hoax exposed. Here is the Toronto Tribune.
Hunch when tax coming in like Pavlov, they treat us like dogs, they use less than them. Rockefeller's at the top, pledge allegiance to the rock, eyes wide shut now. PhDs make disease for militaries, don't think they wouldn't lie for the IPCC. Can't get the weather for the weekend, please. Telling me in 20 years, we guarantee to freeze. Newsweek cover for a 70s scheme. Global cooling back then, global woman now, please.
Here we are on October 17, 2009, Dundas Square. It's freezing cold. It's been cold worldwide since March 2007 when the UN IPCC launched their study and promoted the global warming hysteria. When they say it's melting, they almost never say how much. So you just see like graphic images of like chunks of ice and polar bears. No, it's propaganda.
Yesterday in school, you know, there was frost on the ground yesterday morning when I got to school, and all my friends, they're standing there and they're shivering. And I walk over. Now, I was telling my friend about how global warming's a hoax, so I walk over to my friend. I'm just like, see, there is so global warming. Just ask the frost. It is melting quickly. Okay, like, seriously, okay? It's like, my friend, she's like, why isn't your favorite subject science? I'm like, because I'm not a big fan of fake science. She's like what? Like, what's fake science that they teach us? I'm like, oh, I don't know, like, the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. She's like, but it is! them, like, that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. She's like, I thought it was David Suzuki. Like, since when did David Suzuki invent the light bulb? Or, like, I was like, no, it was Nikola Tesla.
He's also a professor of environmental studies at York University and a director of the David Suzuki Foundation. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about your book and your theory and how you merge the environment and the economy?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that I set out to say, as others actually have said, is that the economy is really part of the environment. It's not a question of having an economy on one hand and an environment on the other.
They want to tax us for carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide.
It's not sort of the environment over here and the economy over here. They're working together.
Yeah, somebody once said the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment, and I think that says it very nicely.
Using, you know, not some sort of wacky transition of any kind at all, just carrying on the way we are, between now and 2030, we need to spend, wait for it, ladies and gentlemen, $25.6 trillion.
Using things like the Copenhagen Agreement to enslave the entire planet, we need to resist this. ClimateGate is huge, revealing top UN scientists know that the science behind global warming and or climate change is a fraud, that they're lying on purpose.
They lied. In March 2007, the United Nations said, it's going to get really warm if we don't act right now. What happened? In the 2.5 years since, it's gotten colder. They lied. They're wrong. Carbon dioxide is not dangerous. Carbon dioxide is what you exhale every single day. Carbon dioxide is not a dangerous pollutant.
The economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment. So if that's your first premise, then I think that's one that people can understand.
I hope so, yeah.
They're lying about global warming.
The net transfer of wealth from the non-OPEC nations to the OPEC nations in that same period between now and 2030 will be a further $30 trillion. This isn't a choice between carrying on as we are and dancing through the buttercups and watching the bunnies.
Anthropomorphization has been done for years through Disney movies and Warner Brothers and everything. The whole love animals and hate people vibe. And so they basically just, the cute fuzzy animals thing gets us every time. We don't really care much about people. There is a war going on in Iraq and like 1.5 million Iraqis are dead. But they can get us care about global polar bears and think somehow paying $8 for a light bulb, 5 cents for a bag, and a bunch of other taxes on what we exhale, carbon dioxide is going to work. It's madness. But again, if they get us distracted with this crap and believing in this corporate crap, then the corporations can destroy the earth. And that's why environmentalists have to figure this out. If you actually care about the earth, then do your homework.
They're not worried about mercury. They're not worried about depleted uranium. They're not worried about aspartame. They're not worried about the fluoride in their water. They're not worried about 1 million toxins. They're worried about carbon dioxide, what we exhale that plants breathe to produce oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide, plants take it in, and they produce oxygen for us. Carbon dioxide, or CO2, is not dangerous. It's not bad for the earth, and we shouldn't have to pay a tax on the carbon dioxide that we use. It's getting colder, folks.
Predictions based on fiction. This the movie, dereliction of duty. The prescription, let's see the uniform. Learn what's going on. Attack like Voltron till the Globot's gone.
Getting an outdoor work for Hollywood.
The government of Canada has dropped the ball.
Word of mouth. Wednesday, word up. That was a clip there. We just played the Toronto Truth Seekers, and then it was an edited clip that I put together featuring Toronto Mayor David Miller, and then there were some clips from the Munk debate that took place on the ClimateGate situation and the Copenhagen Agreement. It's all going down right now. We're going to hopefully have some more information next week if they do a major announcement after this situation. You know, all the time there's these major announcements after these big summits. Like I remember the last year, the G20, they announced $1 trillion that was going to be going to the third world nations, developing nations, African nations. And I'm not sure where that trillion has gone. I think I might actually look that one up because we got the G20 is going to be coming in to Toronto coming up this summer. So, you know, they're going to probably make another big announcement in Toronto, you know, another trillion, another 2 trillion. But when we don't know where the money actually ends up, then it, you know, It just, well, there's a whole lot we can be exploring, and, well, there's a whole lot of people that have been doing this stuff for years, putting together the activism, the philosophy, and the spiritual element of it. KRS-One has been a leading performer in hip-hop, a hip-hop historian, a central figure within the hip-hop movement and the urban culture, and KRS-One, also known as the teacher Chris Parker, also known as the Blastmaster or the philosopher, who has also, he's also got some stuff going on with the Stop the Violence movement. And the Stop the Violence movement was relaunched in Toronto in June of this year, of 2009. So it was a few months ago. And it was a major event. You know, there was events all over. There was stuff even here at Ryerson campus. There was stuff going on, you know, in Scarborough, stuff in Jane and Finch, stuff going on, you know, all over the city. There was the big show was at the Opera House. I checked that out. You know, Wildcore put it on. Minister Zinn was there. He was promoting KRS-One's book, which is The Gospel of Hip Hop, which is out. And, well, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Let me just play a quick clip here of what KRS-One was talking about on talking about the situation of relaunching the Stop the Violence movement 20 years
later. Violence is natural. Now, what causes violence in society? Violence is caused first by poverty. When I ain't got enough to eat, it's quicker for me to bop somebody over the head and get what I need. When I ain't got nothing to eat, I'm desperate. I'm not even thinking in my right mind. I'm just going to get something to eat or put something on my back or get out of the cold. And I'm going to do it by any means necessary. Poverty causes violence in society. Illiteracy. When you can't read, you express yourself physically. When you can't speak, read. When you can't express yourself in words, you use your hands. You use physical parts of your body, and then when aggression comes, and you can't express yourself in word, violence breaks out. Physical violence, because you can't express yourself in word. Illiteracy causes one to be violent or aggressive.
Word up. It's cold outside, but things are heating up here because we're bringing the knowledge. We're cooking up some knowledge here with the teacher, KRS-One, which stands for Knowledge Reigns Supreme Over Nearly Everybody. And we're just going to play a classic track here, and we'll get into playing more clips of KRS-One on the other side of this. But this one's KRS-One, Zach De La Roca, and The Last Emperor, and it's a track called C.I.
Hey. Yeah. KRS-One coming through. Big Zach, Last Emperor. That's the sound of EMS. Last Emperor KRS. Big Zach, you know the rest. Now we're gonna come down like this now. Hold tight, all crew. Listen.
This voice shatters the calm of the day like an alarm. So wake up, batter you, and take up arms. Cause more is necessary than vocabulary war. Cause a toxic rock imports hitting on your door. CIA, I see you later.
When George Bush spoke there, Splitting the Sky was arrested.
My name is Splitting the Sky.
Attica, Attica. Drug agents, you bring your statica. My alphabet will slash and they can flip you. Automatica, dramatic. Like Ali Shaheed Muhammad brought the vibes. I bring the sun at red dawn upon the thoughts of France Fanon. So stand in attention, devil dirge. You never survive choosing sides against the wretched of the earth. The infiltrator, child intoxicator, people incarcerator, liberation movement annihilator. We got you clock pushing rocks in the fair. We got brothers trooping subways like the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We got the truth at it. Last Emperor KRS in history manifesting. Tomorrow the next lesson.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
Them being needed the CIA.
You know the cops, they got a network for the toxic rock.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
So get that flashlight out of my face.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
The Last Emperor KRS-One.
morning, Big Zach.
As free market capitalism and technology expands, the third world fertile soil becomes a desert wasteland. So it takes fans to demand the government provide answers. When Lady Liberty has me bewitched like Samantha, and poverty is one of the most malignant forms of cancer. To all my black magic romancers and acid rain dancers, develop close ties like Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza. We fear no man and throw jams that attack counterintelligence programs, exciting like the epic adventures of Conan. I colonize minds like Zaire by the Belgians. Now what the hell is the problem with this system and what it sells us? I bring ancient relics like Wyclef did the Zealots. I saw an iron curtain called hip-hop and got it open like Boris Yeltsin. Whirlwind, tornadoes, in the rainforest if you say so. KRS in the last of a war like the Green Hornet and Kato. Zach De La Roca brings the enraged flow, but all three drop science and become the most powerful alliance since NATO.
We have culpable deniability.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
Right, but there's a lot of they's there and them, so
that's culpable deniability.
Well, does Iran Contra, does Iran Contra go back?
You know the cops, they got a network for the toxic rock.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
Where they suggested that George Bush made a deal with the Iranians before the election to release the hostages the day Reagan got elected. Is that the beginning of Iran-Contra, or is Iran-Contra something different?
It goes a little before that. Goes before that.
So get that flashlight out of my face.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that. The last Emperor KRS-1 and Big Zach. Need I say the CIA be criminals in action? Cocaine crack unpacking, high surveillance tracking. Prominent blacks and whites giving orders for mass slaughters. I want all my daughters to be like Maxine Waters. When they flooded the streets with crack cocaine, I was like Noah. Now they lower, cause the whole Cold War is over. Communism fell to the dollars you were grabbing it. Only assault and battering in the name of intelligence gathering. Now it's karma you battling a losing fight. I choose the mic to recite, ignite light in the night. We should be. Him. President Clinton should delete him. It's not hard. The CIA simply has no more job. Oh my God, it's mother. You can fix this. We rock over mixes, not 666s. Yo, this is the message to all that can hear it. If you got secret information, now's the time to share it. Call your congresswoman, your senator, your mayor. It's time for all the scholars to unite with all the players. Rearrange and see, times are definitely changing, G. They used to tap the phone, now they tapping while you paging me. It's crazy, B. Yet it's plain to see who the enemy, who's left, the NRA, the ATF, the AMA, okay, it's all irrelevant, cause in the new millennium, there'll be no central intelligence. Throw your hands up, you know what's up, kid, throw your hands up,
And I intend to reverse the charges onto the Bush regime.
I think what you're getting at, Ion.
Yes, there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl.
Wait, it's on the record. The CIA sponsored it.
Okay.
The Queen of England sponsored it.
Now we got a lot of problems.
George Bush should be doing time.
George Bush is the most notorious, credibly accused war criminal on the planet.
When we released the real, the political prisoners in the United States and worldwide, and then we filled up those vacant cells with George Bush and the rest of his cabal.
Word up. So that was the classic track there. You heard KRS-One. We're just going to get into some more clips of KRS-One in that. You also heard a few different voices mixed in there. Some clips of Split in the Sky we've had on the show. I interviewed him Well, it was a few months ago we played the interview when we got back here on the air on CKLN, and also KRS-One I've interviewed in the past too. So it's been great to play some clips. We're just going to get into the next one here. When the Stop the Violence movement was launched, and KRS-One made a major speech at Toronto City Hall in the council chambers of the city council. And well, here's what KRS-One had to say about police in society.
In a civilized society, law enforcement, the only job of a police officer is to keep the peace. That's it. Police officers have no other purpose but to keep the peace. Patrolling the block, running lights, jumping out of pants for no reason. That's not law enforcement. That's something else. But real law enforcement is about keeping the peace. That's it. There's nothing else to it. Keep the peace. Your authority, what gives you the right to kill, to arrest, what gives you the right to be violent, is that you're keeping the peace. When an officer of the law does not follow that very law themselves, violence occurs in society. When law enforcement breaks its own laws, violence occurs in society.
Word, and we're listening to some KRS-One highlights from this. Well, I'm going to put it on as one of the top events of the year. Maybe the event of the hip-hop event of the year in Toronto was the relaunch of the Stop the Violence movement 20 years after the self-destruction record took the world by storm. Heading for Self-Destruction, major rap figures of the late 80s are featured on the Headed for Self-Destruction, and then that was really the launch of the Stop the Violence movement, and KRS-One was in Toronto for a whole week with the Life movement and putting on all this stuff, you know. And I went to the show, the big KRS-One show at the Opera House. He brought out, he had Mindbender, he had the Dope Poet Society opening for him, and then, you know, they had, he had all the elements featured. He had breakdancers, he had beatboxers, he had the turntablists, and he also he brought the knowledge, because he brought out the Minister Zin. Minister Zin has been in KRS-One's Temple of Hip Hop, and he's breached the highest levels of the temple. And Minister Zin came out with KRS-One's book, and it was a large book. And well, now apparently the book is now on sale in stores. You can get The Gospel of Hip Hop, written by KRS-One, and it's basically it's a religious book, but it's featuring hip hop and the spirituality of hip hop. And well, KRS-One, when you hear him talk about hip hop and the history and all the different aspects, you know, he gets into everything. But you know, We don't have time to play the whole speech, because, you know, it was definitely a good one, definitely worth going out next time you hear KRS-One's in town talking. Well, you might want to listen to it. And well, this is how things wrapped up on the Stop the Violence relaunch. Check this out, KRS-One.
Violence is just rampant in community, and there's no professionals, no academics, no solutions, no government, no God, no nothing. Nah, man, come on. We have to grow up. And that is my final point. T-T-O-T-Dot. T-Dot-O-Dot. No more to it, there's no less to it. That's what hip-hop was built upon. Peace. Love. Love, real love, unity, and having some fun, joy in life, happiness, fun. You're not just doing hip-hop, you are hip-hop. Thank you.
Word up. Peace, love, unity, having fun. And this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday, trying to supply some knowledge as well on the news front of the day. Just want to thank everyone for listening today. Want to thank our guests. Rob Nieto had the interview earlier in the show. It was an interview with Rod Shepherd of the Ontario Energy Professionals. Plus, we played the clips on the climate change Copenhagen situation. And also, I want to read out a few events, though, because we got an event going on tomorrow, Thursday, December 17th. There was a demonstration. Expose the Olympic Circus, Welcome the Torch in Style, and it's at the east corner of College and University at 5:15 p.m. tomorrow. You can find more info at this on the torontotorch.blogspot.com. Also, on Saturday, December the 19th, in front of the Eaton Center, it's an all-out solidarity picket for the locked-out workers of the Cadillac Fairview 61. Every Saturday at Young Dundas Square in front of the Eaton Center, the Toronto Truth Seekers are around with the meetup. We played some of the clips earlier today. We had the Stop Global Warming, Look Out for Carbon Septillionaires campaign, Stop the Global Cooling, And look out for the actions going on Saturday near the Eaton Center. So that's, and then we also played those clips, the Blastmaster, KRS-One, the teacher. And also look out for the book, Gospel of Hip Hop, all around. And yeah, thanks again for tuning in to the Word of Mouth Wednesday for today, December the 16th. That is us for the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. My name's Daniel Libby. Thanks again, and we'll tune in for, we'll tune in next week and keep tuned in, because the next show is The Blue Remedy featuring the Blues' Dr. Julie Hill. Word up. Word up.
Everywhere I go, people running around, trying to get to the top when they're really going down. Oh, Lord. Oh, won't you help them if you please? Oh, 'cause I really don't think they're gonna make it unless they find some remedy. People trying to get to a place they've never been, when all the while, Lord, they forget about the friends. Oh, Lord, oh, won't you help them if you please? 'Cause I really don't think they're gonna make it unless they find